Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hello, everybody. What is going on? Welcome back to Quality Queen Control, guys. We are here for part two of my girl Amber's testimony.
Yes, yes.
So, Amber, we left off where you were talking about coming out of that sorority that you were in. We also discussed how demonic it is to enter into situations like that. But I know that, one, knowing you, there was a point in time, one, where actually technically I believe you were kidnapped when you were younger. You weren't just taken gracefully to New York. You were actually kidnapped. Can you divulge a little bit on that really quickly?
So, yeah, I was kidnapped, taken from my mother when I went to live with my stepmom in Compton by my dad. So I did leave two details out now that I'm remembering. And I'm not making this up. This is not to like try to make a story juicy. Like, no. My mom's boyfriend was crazy. He was, I don't know if he was in the mafia. I don't know what he was. He was a part of some gang. But he tried to kill my dad. So when I told you after a year, he didn't want me in his house anymore. He tried to murder my dad, and his mom lived in the house with him. So it's like, instead of hurting this man who you will now have to raise his child, like, leave. Mm-hmm. So my dad took me from my mom and didn't tell my mom where I was going because of the fact that her boyfriend just tried to kill me. Mm-hmm. So when he took me to Compton, they had no idea that I was in Compton. They had no idea that I was with my stepmom now. They had no idea where I was. So my mother, even though she wasn't in the right state of mind to like look for me or like be alerted that my child is missing, her family was, mm-hmm. like my aunts and things of that nature. So they put out a missing child's mm-hmm. report that I believe later got subsided simply because I'm with my dad mm-hmm. at the end of the day. So it was a crazy situation. And when I met her again at 10, when I was introduced to her as like, hey, this is your mom. That's why it was so hard for me to believe that she was my mother, because I left so young. Mm-hmm. I was taken so young, but it was also harder for her to just process because mm-hmm. she never thought she would see me again. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of emotions with that. So, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then I do remember also with your story that there was a point in time where I believe you were battling with your sexuality.
Yes. Okay, so we got in there.
It's all right, y'all. We're not trying to laugh, but we need to talk because we need to set the people free.
Yes, yes. Okay.
And then one more thing, actually, before we even get into that, you mentioned earlier on in your testimony that sometimes men would be in the house and be inappropriate. What do you mean by that?
So I would get molested by men that she would have in the house. And she had many people that she like did crack with, and heroin and all the other stuff and drugs.
And you physically would see these drugs being
done? I would see it. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Like, I would see it. But there was only one man that she was with that mm-hmm. would like stay over, spend the night, spend days. But he was very abusive. Like, I would never forget one day I went to him to I asked him to open up a pickle jar. I like pickles. Was it smart of me to ask him this mid-argument? Probably not, but I'm also 5-6 years old. Mm-hmm. So I asked him to open up the pickle jar. He opens the pickle jar, but he opens it by slamming it on the floor and then drags my stepmom across the glass because they were arguing. Like, but he was abusive. So he would like hit her and things of that nature. And I remember her. She had no She was like one of those, you know, when you have your house clothes on, you don't have anything under, but you have like a long dress. Mm-hmm. She had like a long dress on. And I remember, because I vividly remember the angle that I was at. Like, I was here. He's standing, like, let's say if I'm here, he's standing here. She's on the floor here. And I remember seeing like a little bit of her private parts, because he's grabbing her by her legs. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't have, so she didn't get cut up too much until it got to maybe like her lower back, because mm-hmm. that's when the dress was like yeah. raising up and stuff. I just remember that one image. But I also remember a time when I say inappropriate, there were probably about two or three occasions. And oh my God, you just brought to my memory. I wrote a song about this called Seven, because this happened around the time that I was 7 years old. And I remember the lyrics of the song was something like, don't you know you're chosen? There's things you have to go through. Two or three instances I vividly remember. She wasn't home. Mm-hmm. And he would ask me to like lick his private part, or like touch it or grab it. And he'll say, it'll be so perverted the way that he'll do it. Because when you're talking to a child and trying to get them to do certain things, you would typically use fear. Mm-hmm. And that's what he used. It was, he would ask me to do it. And his, I guess him trying to get me to do it, the fear in that would be, or else I'm not going to do this, or mm-hmm. I'm not, because he was also very active in my life. He was the only male figure that was consistent. So I'm not going to take you here. I'm not going to do it here. We're not going to go here if you don't do it. Mm-hmm. So then after I would like touch it or whatever he'll ask, thank God I never had like physical like sex with him, mm-hmm. like penetration. Now it's, well, if you don't continue to do it, I'll tell your mom that you did it at all. Mm-hmm. So now I'm scared that my mom's going to find out. Mm-hmm. So now I have to continue to touch this person's penis, or mm-hmm. else I'm going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, and this was probably the last time, like the angle of the window to bed, I saw my mom coming back with her friend from the corner store. And she's walking. And I remember saying like, no, like mm-hmm. my mom's coming. Like, I'm going to tell her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, if you tell her, then I'm going to like, just kind of mm-hmm. matching me. It was very, at that time, I didn't know what was wrong or right. I didn't know that this was something I should tell my stepmom. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this was something that I should tell my mom, or anyone. So I didn't. And it's so funny, because, well, it's actually not funny at all, but I had the conversation with my stepmom maybe 2017 when I was 18, 19, and she just bawled crying, because when I went to New York, it broke her in ways she wasn't prepared for. You know, from her perspective, I'm a child she prayed for. God delivered the prayer, mm-hmm. which is my dad kidnapping me from my mom mm-hmm. and taking me to her. She mishandled me completely. Mm-hmm. Like, this is why I hate Vienna sausages. I hate Vienna sausages. I hate like corn hash. I hate those canned
spam.
Things. Yes.
Yeah.
Because that was my breakfast, lunch, dinner in the projects for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because we didn't have extra money. It was being mismanaged. You're using it for drugs. So food, it's drugs. It's kind of like your priorities are just not there. Mm-hmm. So when I left and went to New York, she completely relapsed. Like, she had to go, I think they had to take her to one of those like Christian like homes that you pay tuition to stay in.
But wait, so was your father and her still together?
No. So he married her to get his papers. Men took advantage of my mom's mental state. She was very attractive, mm-hmm. but she wasn't there mentally, my real mom. Because after I met her, she got married mm-hmm. to someone. For 7 years, another African man. After 7 years, he left her on the street. She was actually homeless, like in an actual shelter mm-hmm. for 3 years living there.
So wait, your dad, your father ended up marrying your real mother?
So my dad's in Africa at this time. When I came to New York, my dad's in Africa.
Okay.
Now, everything I'm talking about is after I came to New York. Mm-hmm. My stepmom who raised me, she went to a Christian home mm-hmm. because she relapsed. Because there was a level of guilt yeah. that she felt. A level of, wow, I did not steward this child right. And now she's out of my arms. Mm-hmm. And then my real mother, not my stepmom, mm-hmm. my real mom, she ended up getting married to an African man, but he needed his papers. She loved him. He just needed his papers. Mm-hmm. So he used her basically for his papers. And then she ended up on a shelter. That's a whole nother scenario, whole nother story of how did my real mom end up on the streets, whatever. But yes, and that kind of leads me into sexuality.
Yeah.
Because it leads me into everything. The reason why I was in long-term relationships, I didn't know how to be by myself. The reason why I was always searching for love in whoever would give it. I thank God that because of my upbringing, I wasn't sexually promiscuous. Like, I didn't have sex with a lot of people, but I was always looking. Mm-hmm. I was always flirting. I was always leading on, which brings me to my story and testimony and direct claim of a person will and can be delivered from homosexuality. Mm-hmm. I know that's a very touchy topic, especially with how supported it is in this day and age. And I'm a living testimony of it. So there was this girl, her name was Jessica. And this was the time when I met her is when the relationship with the man who brought me to church in the first place, the one who said, you can't be my girlfriend if you don't go to church, it was ending. He led me to a new community. He led me to a new life. But we both weren't compatible in the ways that we needed to be, like, period. Regardless of whether it's at that time, we just weren't compatible. So there was a lot of, like, me flirting with people, him getting upset, him doing things, me getting upset, us forgiving each other, but then using it against each other. Mm-hmm. And we just lost total respect for each other. So mm-hmm. it got to a point where I was so jaded from that relationship mm-hmm. that I'm like, I don't want to date men. And I didn't consciously make the decision to date women. Mm-hmm. I was working at this job. I was working with kids who had autism. And I was working overnight while I'm in college. So there was a woman working there and she worked overnight as well. And I think she did a shift with me and we just clicked. She was very, like, tomboyish, but not really. And one thing about that spirit of homosexuality is stronger than the West Wind, girl. That thing is like, it's literally like, I'm telling you, and it's actually a running joke. It's a running joke, but it's very serious about, like, there's like a running joke that, like, when a lesbian meets another lesbian, they move in together like a week later. But that's a thing. Like, I'm telling you that the level of love and obsession that I felt for this woman that I didn't know for a week was out of this world. Like, I met her on a Thursday. We both worked overnight and we worked overnight Thursday through Monday. So I met her we hung out because I needed to get my hair done. Mm-hmm. And she was Dominican. So I'm like, can you let me know where I could get a Dominican blowout? She takes me somewhere. We spend the whole entire day together. Have sex that same day. Like, had sex that same day. Full blown sex. I've never eaten a girl out. I've never done any of that oral sex. And I did everything.
Yo, what is going on?
I did it all. And, like, the thing is, as I'm doing this stuff, as I'm literally actively having sex.
Weren't you like, wait, you're like, woman, am I a lesbian now?
Literally, I'm thinking to myself, like, what am I actually doing? It's like a strong feeling of passion that you feel suddenly out of nowhere. And it's so strong that you truly believe nobody can tell you that it's not natural. Like, you 100% think, like, this was meant to be. Mm-hmm. This is my person. It makes so much sense. Because a level of attachment, it's like once you open that door to that thought, like, once I kissed her, mm-hmm. I already had sex with her at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, once I hung out with her, I already did. Just because from the flirting to the, just everything that I was entertaining at that moment was just like, I'm actively hanging out with this girl. And after 24 hours, we did our shift. After the shift, she came back, came to my campus. We hung out again for a whole other 24 hours. And we kept hanging out. Now she's taking naps at my dorm. And this entire time, this is after I found God. This is after I started going to church. This is after I deletered from the sorority. So I clearly made life adjustments, mm-hmm. commitment decisions to show God, I love you. I have faith in you. Mm-hmm. Why did I find myself in a situation mm-hmm. where I'm now what I thought was in love with this woman mm-hmm. and wanting to build a future with this woman? I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And this story is a huge testimony, because it was the sexual connection that kept me like interested mm-hmm. in her for a long time, because it takes submission to date a man, not a boy, but a man. Mm-hmm. It takes full submission to date a man. And I was at a point in my life where I was very prideful. So even the idea, even the act of me dating another woman is pride. Because it's like, I don't need no man telling me what to do right now. I don't need no man leading me. Like, I could be the man in this relationship. So there was a lot of mental battles I was going through. And people think that dating women is easier. It's they're women. Like we're women. We know how we are as women. So the whole relationship was just, this is not natural. And I remember her and I going back and forth. For 1 month, I lived in my delusion. I gave myself a month, right? So 1 month, I was ignoring the thought in the back of my head of like, this is not what you want. This is not what God wants. I was just ignoring it. Knowing, feeling bad, feeling those feelings, but just like, I'll do it that tomorrow, because I'm just happy. I'm feeling happy. And then this is where you look for the motivational quotes. This is where like the Instagram posts make you feel all glittery inside, because you see those things that's like, love who you are and be who you are and you're born this way. Mm-hmm. So you start to ignore the Bible scriptures, the gospel music, the sermons, yeah. and you kind of hone in more into what makes you feel good at that moment. Mm-hmm. So in that moment, I was only confining into other people that was homosexual. I was going to other homosexuals, asking them questions that I really should have just asked God directly. Like, do you think God really would send us to hell? And the thing is, people ask me that question. And the thing is, I don't have the answer, right? God said, when Jesus died for us, you have to believe in that. That's your way to get to heaven. But there's other things in place too. I don't have the answers to all of that. But when it came down to me trying to search for answers from other people, I would always ask questions that I knew the answer to, mm-hmm. right? Do you think God wants this for me? I'm asking this to another homosexual person, yeah. knowing that they're not going to disagree. They're not going to take a different stance. They're not going to give me any type of biblical logic. At all. And that's kind of how I pressed through those initial guilty emotions that I felt, because I still felt passion. I still felt like I was in this cloud, this bubble, this in love. I love this girl so much, but I still had a foundation of guilt of, I don't think this is where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So it led into, now I stopped doing anything with her. Like, it was a month of me just doing stuff with mm-hmm. her. And then I stopped doing sexual things with her. But I still really felt like I loved her. I had an attachment to her. And I remember her and I in her house one day, and we called her godfather, who was a pastor. Because I wasn't calling my pastor asking this stuff. I was not bringing it to him. I already knew. It's like, it's kind of like, you know, you're going to get the lecture. You know, so you kind of ask people that you're not going to hear that from. So I'm like, let's call your godfather. He's a pastor. Let's ask him questions. So he's asking him questions, and we're trying to find loopholes. Like, we're trying to find, where in the Bible does it say like we can be together and it'll be fine and we're going to be happy and ever? Couldn't find it. Fast forward. So we stopped dating eventually. It was the most heartbreaking experience ever, which was weird, because I felt like I was more heartbroken over this woman than any man I dated. And then she just started evangelizing. Now she's traveling the world, talking about Jesus, and her kind of like good obsession with God, the way, like, if she was to tell her side of the story of how she found God, she was so obsessed with this idea of, I need to figure out who's this person that says you and I can't be together. Mm-hmm. If we love each other this much, if it's this strong, because she doesn't know spirits are strong too. They have mm-hmm. strength, they have power. if we love each other so much and we're this close and we're this strong, how could God possibly say this is wrong? If he made us in his image, that's another thing I used to hear a lot of. If he made us in his image, and in his image, I have these emotions, why can't we be together? She was so interested in who this person was, who this being was that I reverenced so much, to the point where I'm willing to sacrifice what I thought was real love for this being, that she went on a rabbit hole. She went to different churches searching for him, looking for him. And now she's a whole nun. She's a nun. Full blown nun. I can't talk to her. I wasn't talking to her regardless. Her and I were like, well, we became friends. But years later, and I still have the picture. I went to her ceremony. She's like behind a gate. I can't touch her. I can't hug her. Her family's there. Her family's bawling, crying, because her family doesn't understand why is this her calling? Why would God want this for you? She's an entire nun, girl. I don't know what that girl doing right
now. She went from lesbian to nun.
To nun, yes. So if there is not a test, you got two in one. That's two testimonies of a person that can be delivered. And I remember asking her, before she became a nun, she was like, because you're not just going to become a nun. You're going to get told that. So when she was like, when she found out, she reached out to me. And she said, you know, I'm actually going to become a nun, et cetera, et cetera. And I asked her, I'm like, do you still have desires for a woman? And she said, honestly, Amber, no. Like, I really do have a peace. And I understand now what you were talking about. Because the minute, and this is how I know it's a spirit. The minute how did I even get through that? I prayed and cried a lot. Like, I prayed and cried a lot. I prayed and asked God. I stopped doing things that were keeping me within that attachment to her. That kind of just clouded my judgment. And when I finally was able to walk away, I had no interest in women ever. Mm-hmm. Like, ever again. I never wanted to do anything with women. I can't even fathom the thought. It's like, throw up in my mouth at this point to think of me doing anything with a woman. And that's how I know it came and left. Mm-hmm. And I guess it served its purpose, because now she's saved. I mean, I didn't need the lesson in the meantime. It's like, God, you could save us some of these lessons. You know, we don't be needing it. Like, I don't know. So it's very bittersweet, because I'm very happy that she got that experience and that she's now in her calling. But it's like, I didn't need the heartbreak. Like, I could have skipped over that entire heartbreak. She could have been a friend, you know, that I brought to God.
Yeah.
But I guess in that moment, still going back to the first thing that I was saying of just having a void, I wanted love. Mm-hmm. I wanted that void of love. And even though I found God in that moment, doesn't mean I believed he loved me or knew what that meant or looked like. Mm-hmm. So for her, it was very strong. And that's why now when I have conversations with certain people who are homosexual, I do like to dig a little deeper. But the premises is God. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't believe he died for our sins, you're just simply not going to care.
Yeah.
Like, what drove me to, like, I prayed that spirit off. I prayed and asked God, this is not for me. If this is not for me, release me from it. So I put myself in that situation, knowing that I put myself into that situation, ignored all those signs, ignored all those opportunities I could, because I could have came to my pastor and said, hey, this is what I'm going through. Can you give me some insight? Can you pray for me? But I didn't because I wanted to be in it. I wanted to stay in it. It felt good. Mm-hmm. It felt right. So I would just say, like, to anyone that is experiencing that, and it's kind of crazy to think, because I had this conversation with a friend who is homosexual. She said, you know, it's kind of downgrading, or it's crazy for you to talk down on my community by saying that homosexuality is a spirit. And I'm like, well, that's very prideful for you to say, because I also have my community of people who were homosexual and did not want to be. Mm-hmm. Like, the same way people want to come out, people don't want to be gay. They don't want to have that. I didn't want to have sex with a girl. Yeah. I didn't want to marry a girl. I didn't want to do those things. But I was operating under this deep, like this really, really deep passion that made me feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So I would honestly say that you have to really come to terms with the fact that it is a spirit. That's the first thing you have to come to terms with. You can't believe that alcoholism isn't a spirit, but not homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Like, God gave us a soul, a spirit, a flesh, mm-hmm. right? And it's like our spirit is with God. Our soul is really who we are to our core, mm-hmm. how we think, our mind. And our flesh really determines which one we pour into more, because we can use our flesh to go to church, mm-hmm. to read the Bible, to do godly things, or just things that's not putting us in the way of the enemy. Or we could use our flesh as a vessel to do the things that's contrary.
Yeah.
So in those moments, I used my flesh to do everything contrary. I started smoking at that time. I was drinking a lot, and I was trying to get her like accepted by my friends, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm bringing her around my friends, and you can tell my friends were just like, this is a phase. Mm-hmm. This is temporary. This girl's not going to be here long, because they didn't really receive her well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's bad to feel that feeling of, you know, this is what I naturally feel and want to go to God to heal yourself from that. And I don't think people should take it offensive when people like me sit on this podcast and say, you can be healed from that. It is something that can be healed
right.
from. Mm-hmm.
I think there's something to it. So many points to touch on, like you talking about pride. It's no coincidence that really promote Pride Month and all these different things. Yeah. And I understand, like, it's so funny. I took a human sexuality class when I was in college, mm-hmm. and my teacher showed us this movie where it was a bad thing to be straight. Mm-hmm. And it was very common to be gay. Mm-hmm. So the only purpose that you would step outside of your homosexual relationship is for the purposes of procreation. And it put things into like a crazy perspective where you really got to see, oh, wow, so this must be what homosexual people feel like. Mm-hmm. You know, like they have to hide all these different things. And I remember even learning about homosexuality, there were like 5 phases of like acceptance that they all tend to go through. Mm-hmm. And I realized being a heterosexual woman, there's no phase. Mm-hmm. It's just very much like, mm-hmm. yeah, I like guys. I love men. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? There's no like, I have to accept the fact that I love men. Like, mm-hmm. it's a very natural yeah. thing. And I do understand maybe just as strongly as I feel that I like men, they feel like they like what they like. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it is a spirit. And even talking about whether or not it's wrong, the Bible does say that the wages of sin is death. That includes whether a straight person is fornicating or whether a gay person is also fornicating. So it's at the end of the day. And then honestly, homosexuality is considered an abomination. Why? Because you leave 2 women, 2 men on an island and they're going to die. But you leave a man and a woman and it creates
life. It brings life.
It brings life. Exactly. And so it's God he's the creator. He creates things. So he would not create something that produces absolutely no fruit mm-hmm. That is going to be positive. And so when you think about like homosexuality, it is also a spirit, because notice like men begin to act like women. And mm-hmm. I understand this may be so difficult to hear. It's like, how dare you say that there's something wrong with how I act? And, you know, listen, we all know people that we very much love that are near and dear to our hearts that are a part of this lifestyle and are a part of this community. And we are called to love them no matter what. Yes. No one is saying like, treat them differently, ostracize them, throw them on the street. That's not what we're saying. But if we're talking about biblical principle here, mm-hmm. we have to understand what the Bible says. And guess what? Like I said, I want to drive home. Being gay is no different. All sin is equal under God's eyes, except for blasphemy. So being gay is still just as much as a sin as, you know,
getting drunk,
mm-hmm. cursing,
stealing,
fornicating as a straight person. Like, you're not better if you do this because someone else is like in a homosexual relationship. So I do want to drive that point home. At the end of the day, sin is sin. And the wages of sin will bring you to death. And death is hell mm-hmm. because and not only are you dying, but you're dying every day.
Mm-hmm. Because you're separated. I remember I stopped, like, I cannot sin without feeling guilty.
Conviction.
And it's because it brings death because it brings separation from God. Mm-hmm. When you sin, you allow an opening, a door for the devil to talk to your mind to lead you to another sin. Mm-hmm. That's why in the story in the Bible where the spirit left the man mm-hmm. who was possessed and came back with seven more when he couldn't find a new home to yeah. stay in. It's like people don't realize how one door will always lead to another. So homosexual, that spirit will lead to being promiscuous, right? It's not, and I'm not, this is not a long shot for me saying this, but it's not a coincidence that a lot of homosexual couples are also poly. Right. They also participate in orgies and things of that nature. It's very, very popular. Not to say it's not popular in the general public, but it's extremely popular in the homosexual community. There's just a higher level of sex.
Yeah.
of just like horniness.
Yeah.
That happens. There's a higher level of a lot of things. I don't want to feel like I'm attacking or bashing, but it's just a matter of understanding that. Once the doors are open, the doors are open, and you don't know what's going to come through those doors. You don't know what habits you're gonna groom. I did realize that when I started to have sex with a woman, I started smoking. Mm-hmm. I started doing other stuff. Yeah. I'd stopped wanting to come to church. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want to be around God because your spirit is going to convict you when you are doing something contrary to what God wants, even if your flesh feels like it's right.
Yeah.
So you'll always be at that battle. You'll always have an internal battle of who am I? Am I doing this right? Why do I feel this void? And you're always looking because it's body, soul, spirit. And you might be feeding your soul when you're going to these Pride Month parades, and you're feeding your flesh when you're doing what you're doing, but your spirit is completely empty. Mm-hmm. So it's and even down to the rainbow, like the biblical meaning of a rainbow was God's promise to not flood the earth again. How did you take that meaning of the rainbow and now make it pride? Mm-hmm. Like you took something that God gave us as a symbol of, this is how much I love you guys. You guys get me upset, but I'm promised to not flood you guys and kill this earth again. Here's a rainbow to represent this promise. This was spoken about in Genesis. And now now you look at a rainbow, you don't even think God anymore. Mm-hmm. You look at a rainbow, you think gay pride. Mm-hmm. And it's those little details to show you the devil really does take things that God does and make a mockery of it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like pride. Mm-hmm. Pride Month. It's, I don't know, when you start to have these conversations, I just really want individuals in that community to just take a step back and get off the defense boat. It's like they're very offensive. Mm-hmm. They get very offended when you say certain things to them, especially in the transgender community.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. So it's a lot. I would also recommend don't try to use scriptures to fit your feelings in that moment.
They love, the Bible says don't judge and like love thy neighbor.
Yeah. Or like be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Doesn't it mean to transform your sexuality. That means to renew your mind in the word, to become new.
So and Sodom and Gomorrah was burned down
because of these things,
because of this exact thing. Yeah. And we're highlighting this because this is a part of Amber's story, testimony and it's very relatable. But Sodom and Gomorrah was not only burned down because of homosexuality, by the way, they were burned down for being hedonistic and feeding into their fleshly desires and feeding in the devil. If you even, not saying you guys should watch this show, but there was a very short time period, I admit, where I was watching that show Lucifer, but I couldn't really get into it because the name made me like scared. But I remember a specific episode where Lucifer was saying like, I don't force you to do anything. I just present the desire in front of you and you make the choice. And that's true. God also gives us choice power, but the devil also wants us to feed into our fleshly desires. So considering those things, we have to remember that, the enemy wants us to feed into these fleshly desires and he wants us to justify them. How can, just like how someone can justify being homosexual, we as heterosexuals, we can justify, well, me and my boyfriend, we go to church. It doesn't matter if we live together. We're getting engaged
and we do have sex, but we know we're going to be together. It's not wrong because we're only, like, some people have this view, and I'm assuming it's because they clearly don't know the Bible, that like, oh, because we go to church and like we live together and we have sex and we're in a monogamous relationship, mm-hmm. that means like we're going to heaven. And it's mm-hmm. like, no. Like, yeah. We're not supposed to be partaking
power
in
and covenant.
Exactly. It's a covenant. And we have to understand there are soul ties that are involved in any sort of sexual relationship, which is why that leads us into renouncing, denouncing, mm-hmm. and coming out of agreement with certain things. Because of the fact that it's you have attachments to people whenever you open up your flesh to them, mm-hmm. you know? And so we really hope that you guys receive this in love, because, you know, even when it comes to molestation, I do believe spirits can enter people before that time too. But when it comes to molestation, like, sometimes people, a lot of the times they do end up hypersexual, mm-hmm. or they end up in situations where they are seeking that attention in yeah. some sort of way, because that feels like affection to them, mm-hmm. you know, and it feels good to be desired, which flows along the line of like a spirit of lust, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, like wanting people to want you, mm-hmm. or just wanting people in general. And so it's definitely something that I know is very hard to hear, because I watch all the testimonies about or the pastors, the street pastors that will go to the pride parades and all these different things, and why would it ever be natural? Why would a child who knows nothing about sexuality or anything stare at a man in a dress?
Yeah,
you weren't taught that men are not supposed to wear dresses, but why does it look funny to you?
Yeah,
because it's not natural.
It's not natural.
But racism is taught.
Yeah.
So a white child, a Spanish child, an Asian child, an Indian child can be in a room and be playing with each other like it's nothing. But again, if those same children were to see a man in a dress, a woman, yeah. you know what I mean?
They'll question it.
Yeah, you're gonna be like, staring at that. Why? Because they just know. It's an inherent knowing.
And God is not a God of confusion.
Exactly.
So anytime it's like you have to second guess, or I have to submit to what you want me to refer to you as, which is contrary to what my eyes see.
Right.
I'm already confused. Mm-hmm. And now I'm coming in agreement with your confusion. I think all in all, God loves everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Does God love you? Yes. As a father will love his child, but does God agree with everything you do? Is God in all of your decisions? Is he in your lifestyle? Is he in your desires? Is he a part of how you decide to live your life? That can be a hard no. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference, that's really the fine detail that individuals have to hold on to. Because yes, God does love you, but there was a purpose he gave you on this earth. What if that purpose involved the children that you would have had, right? It's like, I think it comes from a place of destiny, right? When you buy a car, you don't have to drive off the lot and go searching for an AC or go searching for an engine. Everything you need to drive that car is in that car. Mm-hmm. Everything we need to prosper and to live out our purpose and God's will for our life is in us, mm-hmm. when we were brought to this earth, when we were born. Now you changing that as you get older, now you're changing the destiny, the will, the purpose that God has for your life. So does he love you at the end of the day? Yes. Is he happy and pleased mm-hmm. with your decisions that you've made? Probably not. And that's the hard truth. That's yeah. the hard pill for people to swallow. And it's not that God's not accepting you and God's rejecting you and that's why you don't go to church, because you feel rejected. No, God's not rejecting you. But the same way that you can feel the disappointment of a parent when you walk into the house after doing something contrary to what they know is best or they expect or et cetera, is the same level of guilt that I believe people carry when they're in certain lifestyle, which keeps them away from God.
Yeah.
But I do pray that you all find your way, and you will.
Yeah, you definitely will. Because at the end of the day, it is deception. And we've all been there at some point or another. And it doesn't even have to pertain mm-hmm. to sexuality. It can simply pertain to astrology, mm-hmm. getting into the zodiac signs and things like that. And it's so interesting how we normalize the signs and believing in astrology, mm-hmm. but like, you talk about church, you talk about God, you talk about Jesus, and it's like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or how we have faith in feeling like we are something that we are not in our physical bodies, mm-hmm. but we find Jesus to be such a hard concept.
Yeah. It's like worshiping the creation and not the creator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Because it's like, where do you think these things came from? Like yeah. stars, who made them?
Yeah.
You know, and even if, like, I remember there was literally yesterday, somebody made a comment about that, like sage and all this stuff. And there was someone defending it in the comments, like sage protects from negative energy. Crystals recharge our energy. This does this, gave an entire itinerary of what does what. And it's like prayer does all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer does. Let's say even if these things did do that, why not worship the person who created them? Mm-hmm. What, where's the pain in that? But usually you don't find both. Mm-hmm. You find people that are replacing the worship and the praise that we should give God, and they're now worshiping these items and they're calling it spirituality. You know, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. It's like, what does that even mean nowadays?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I definitely found that I fell into deception myself. I didn't want to identify as like a Christian because, one, I didn't want judgment from people. And then, two, I felt like I wanted to just leave things open, mm-hmm. like accept everything or whatever the case is. And that is the deception, that you feel like, oh my gosh, like whatever you want to do, like mm-hmm. do you, boo, all yeah. these different things. And it sets a center stage where following the Bible feels like judgment. Mm-hmm. It feels like, who are you to tell me what path I have to take? It doesn't matter what path, because there are also homosexual churches where they have their own version of the Bible and all these mm-hmm. different things. It gets really, really deep. And again, it is nothing but deception, where mm-hmm. people, they twist all the scriptures to make it fit their life, mm-hmm. you know. But at the end of the day, we really do hope that you guys find peace and you find freedom in her sharing this part of her testimony, because this is something that I believe a lot of people struggle with, you know, having, you know, from being molested to, you know, being in a homosexual relationship, getting delivered out of that. And so we hope that you guys keep tuning in next week, actually, for part three. We're going to be talking about the spirit of delay. We're going to be talking about how you were able to achieve
humility.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because God will humble you.
Oh,
he will do it in ways you will not see coming.
Exactly. He will. Won't he do it? Okay. So we are going to get into that next week. So make sure you guys stay tuned for part three of Amber's testimony. With that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next episode. Mwah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.